Department told Congress it reopened its inquiry, quote, based upon the discovery of new information, without elaborating. Emmett Till killed August 28, 1955, while visiting family in Money, Mississippi. Till's mother held an open casket funeral for her son to show the ravages of racism and the brutality of bigotry. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheh.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. It's Thursday, July 12th. This is KBOO Portland. Sojourner Truth Radio is next, reporting on the Poor People's Campaign Week of Action.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Northwest String Summit, July 19th through 22nd at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. The Northwest String Summit is celebrating its 17th year as a bluegrass, roots, and Americana music festival. Performers this year include three nights of the Yonder Mountain String Band and Green Sky Bluegrass. Other performers include Andy Hall, the Shook Twins, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, The Deer, Carolyn Cotter, and many more. Again, that's the Northwest String Summit from July 19th through the 22nd at Horning's Hideout, 21277 Northwest Brunswick Canyon Road in North Plains, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film Behemoth on Thursday, July 12th at 7 p.m. Behemoth is a Chinese documentary showing the dehumanizing impact of coal mining. After the film will be a discussion on clean energy alternatives. Again, that's a film screening of the documentary Behemoth, Thursday, July 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Pass the Mic on Friday, July 20th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Franklin High School in Portland. Pass the Mic aims to decrease isolation and find ways to connect youth, to carve out their own expressive safe space, and to share it in their own creative terms. This five-day music camp culminates in a closing concert by the Immigrant and Refugee Youth Campers, featuring their bands and performances created during the week. Again, that's Pass the Mic on Friday, July 20th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Franklin High School, 5405 Southeast Woodward Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. The Poor People's Campaign was first called by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968, but he was assassinated before the event took place in Washington, D.C. Now, the Reverend Bishop William Barber and the Reverend Liz Theo Harris have revived the campaign. The Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, brings together tens of thousands of people across the United States to challenge the evils of systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, ecological devastation, and the nation's distorted morality. It is a fusion multiracial movement bringing together Black, Indigenous, Brown people, poor white people from Appalachia to cities and rural areas. It includes Christians, Muslims, Jews, people of faith, people of no faith. The launch of the campaign was a six-week effort with actions each Monday in 40 state capitals. Thus far in the United States, over 3,000 people have presented themselves for civil disobedience, and there have been over 2,000 arrests. The Poor People's Campaign plans on being a multi-year effort, building support across movements and doing voter registration. the Bro People's campaign, also has increasing global support. It has been endorsed by UNI Global Union, which represents more than 20 million people in over 900 trade unions worldwide. Today, we hear part one of the three-hour-long Poor People's Campaign final week of action rally that took place in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, June 23rd. You'll hear powerful speeches from Poor People's Campaign participants from across the country representing civil rights, labor, faith groups, environmental activists, and anti-war coalitions. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandari. President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh travels to Capitol Hill for meetings with U.S. senators who will vote on his confirmation. Vice President Mike Pence will accompany Kavanaugh. When he announced the selection last night, Trump urged speedy Senate confirmation.
This incredibly qualified nominee deserves a swift confirmation and robust bipartisan support.
Kavanaugh said he has a straightforward judicial philosophy.
A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written, informed by history and tradition and precedent.
Kavanaugh has written roughly 300 opinions in his 12 years as a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. Women's and civil rights groups across the board are already waging a fierce campaign to oppose him, fearing a rollback of abortion, civil rights, LGBTQ, and labor rights, as well as an expansion of corporate power. Kavanaugh wrote in a 2009 Law Review article that he favors exempting presidents from facing both civil suits and criminal investigations, including indictment while in office. That view has particular relevance as special counsel Robert Mueller is looking into Russian meddling in the 2016 election and whether the Trump campaign colluded. A point made by Oregon Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley at a rally outside the Supreme Court last night.
This is a nominee who wants to pave the path to tyranny, who says that the president can do anything, basically, that a sitting president shouldn't be investigated, that says his sole power to appoint or fire a special prosecutor rests with the president.
In another frequently cited opinion, Kavanaugh voted in October to delay an abortion for a teenage immigrant who was in government custody. He wrote in his dissent that the government had a permissible interest in favoring the life of the fetus and refraining from facilitating abortion. President Trump left on a four-nation European tour this morning. That trip has allies fretting over the risk of damage he could do to the decades-old NATO alliance. They're also worried about his potential embrace of Vladimir Putin during the Helsinki summit between Trump and the Russian president.
I have NATO. I have the UK, which is in somewhat turmoil. And I have Putin. Frankly, Putin may be the easiest.
Trump has criticized European allies, saying they're failing to meet their financial obligations to the 69-year-old Transatlantic Mutual Defense Pact. In a rebuke addressed directly to Trump, European Council President Donald Tusk said the U.S. will not have a better ally than Europe.
Appreciate your allies. After all, you don't have that many. Money is important, but genuine solidarity is even more important.
Besides the NATO meeting, Trump's trip will take him to London, where Prime Minister Theresa May's government is in turmoil over her plans for exiting the European Union. Organizers have promised large anti-Trump protests during the U.S. president's visit there. Dozens of immigrant children will be released from detention centers and reunited with their parents by today's court-ordered deadline. A government lawyer said at least 54 children under the age of 5 would join their parents. That is only about half the 100 or so of the young children covered by San Diego federal judge Dana Sabraw's order. Their parents will also be released from detention. ACLU attorney Lee Gelernt said advocates would be on hand to help the newly released parents as they reunite with their children.
We have asked that they give us notice of the time and place of those reunifications so that we can have NGOs and faith-based groups meet the family who are going to be released from prison, detention centers, without any idea of where they are, potentially no money, potentially no place to stay that night, so that those logistics can be handled.
Gelernt said in one case, authorities can't find evidence of any parental records for a three-year-old boy. A Los Angeles federal judge has rejected the Trump administration's effort to detain immigrant families for long periods. Federal Judge Dolly G called the federal request a cynical attempt to undo a long-standing court settlement. 3 years ago, she rejected a similar effort by the Obama administration. Judge G ruled at the time that immigrant children generally can't be held in detention longer than 20 days, even with their parents. All 12 boys and their soccer coach have been rescued from a flooded cave in northern Thailand. Today's rescue of the final four boys and their coach ended an 18-day ordeal that riveted people around the world.
Those were our news headlines. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, and now part one of the three-hour-long Poor People's Campaign Final Week of Action Rally held on Saturday, June 23rd, 2018.
Repeat after me. Hope is here.
Hope is here.
Truth is here.
Truth is here.
We are here.
We are here.
We are the change.
We are the change.
Give yourselves a round of applause. As Reverend Barber said, my name is Reverend Mark Thompson. Joining me here by my side, our other MC today will bring up our next group. Please welcome, you all know and love him, Roland Martin.
So glad to see all of you here. 50 years ago, the brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha stood with our brother, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And here we stand 50 years later, and we stand with our brother, Reverend Dr. William Barber. When it comes to all the other folks who are fighting on behalf of the poor. Also, I bring greetings on behalf of Tom Joyner, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, as well as our folks at TV One. Let's get right to it. Coming up right now, folks, is the former chairman, Winslow Nosey, and the San Carlos Apache Nation.
Again, Pekanan, this Pekanaway, Pamanki, Kunanli, Kof, Darulas, Dals, Ehe, Shito, Kunanite. What I did was I sent greetings to the first people that had this land, that it was their home. So, in a spiritual way, we have to give thanks to them and recognize them, because they were born and they lived here and they suffered here. And so the acknowledgement goes to them for what we are doing today. So, with that, I'm going to tell you that we crossed this country, started on the 8th and ending today on the 23rd. So I'm going to tell you the same thing I told the people across this country, no matter who we are, is that what you are hearing is the oldest blessing of this country, the oldest song of this country that the Creator, who is known as God, had given us. So I told the people in this country that today you are embracing God, but you have a choice not to embrace God. Because if we're going to fix this country, we're going to fix it right by going to the first chapter of what happened here in America as it was born. Because those laws that affect you affected us first. So I ask my relatives, my sisters and brothers out there to not forget the beginning of the birth of this country if we are going to fix it. So, I'm going to leave the prayer in the oldest song that we have sung through time immemorial. These songs come from our deities, our Holy Spirit, no different than any other religion that has a Holy Spirit. We have connected from the west to the east that what you do will be blessed. from what God gave this part of the world, so it could hear our cries, hear our needs, and give us the wisdom and the spirituality to fix what we are crying about. But let us do it right with prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. If that is neglected, then all we do is nothing. Nothing will change, because the evil that came from across the ocean will still control us. And that is greed. All of that started back in Europe, but it is here. So the Native American people detected that. So we are joining with you as sisters and brothers, so together we can identify what is evil. And in Apache, we say Nalini Nakla, which means explode that evil away so the people can live. So I ask you today in the prayer that from where you are, dance with us. Because what I told the people in this country and what they told me back is that when you come to Washington, we may not be there, but hundreds and hundreds of spirits are going to be with you. So tell the people in Washington to dance with you and really join the people's movement. So I ask you, please join us in this religious ceremony that we have. So it's one song. Akia, thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you from every state that you represent. But most importantly, I really want to say thank you for who you are and who you're rooted to. Because the most important thing is to know who you are. If you know who you are, many things in this world make sense, whether it's good or bad. So with us coming here today, and I thank Reverend Barber and the Poor People's Campaign, that to be a part of this is very important for America. Because we cannot forget the history, the course that this country took. Because we are a part of this. We have been neglected for over 500 years, and our voices have not been heard. And I remember that day I came, and Reverend Barber said, no, the Native Americans will be heard, and we'll be at the table. And this is not what we receive, all the broken promises from this Congress, from this president, that's never given us the opportunity. Back in the 1800s, they used to meet with our leaders and respected our leaders because of the relationship, good or bad. But today, as tribal leaders, when we come here to D.C., we meet with their chief of staff. We no longer meet with the president. And sometimes Congress people don't even meet with us. And yet, we have 70% unemployment throughout Indian reservations, and yet it was at 100% when we were put as prisoners of war. So imagine you being in prison and then telling you, this is your home now, raise your kids in this prison. That's what happened to us. So now today, over 500 years ago, we are finally being heard. And what's going to take change is you people have to be involved in this change. And the second part of that, which is the most important part, is the spirituality. These songs that have, this song that you just heard is the oldest songs that roam in the mountains with our spirit. This song came from the West here, not only to bless us as people, but bless all these buildings, because these buildings came from Mother Earth to build this city. So if any connection that we can have spiritually is that these buildings can hear our prayers and hear our concerns. So when these people go to work, it will manifest in their heart and their spirits that it has to change. So don't forget, these buildings are just as important because they come from our mother. And then secondly, our environment. You know, Native American is tied to the earth and to the environment. Right now, what we see is the attack on Mother Earth. And it's going to take all of us to stop this. And please, people, believe me. You have the power. You have the power through prayer and making the right decision. Because what Native Americans are facing equal to you is exemptions from federal law. Right now, the United States Congress has exempt federal law on the natural resources so that not only corporations here but around the world can now tap into the resources of America, which means we are not going to have any water. Right now, tributaries are contaminated, water is contaminated. We hardly have any aquifers.
That's right.
So if we do not control these decisions that are being made, then what is going to be left for our children? And what's so important for all of us is that the decisions that we make should be for our children and the ones are not born yet.
Yeah.
It is not about us. It's about the future. And if we believe in God, believe in God, then we need to practice what He has told the world.
That's right.
And if we don't, then we are part of what's being destroyed. As I cross America, starting with the Pomo Nation, who blessed us with this feather, and all the tribes and all the people that we ran into, they have faith in this movement.
Right.
They have faith in this movement.
Yes.
So people, be smart and know when somebody is misleading you. Be smart when somebody is trying to destroy a movement that God has given us. Be smart to be able to pray and to detect that so that our children are not being heard. If they are not speaking for their children, then they are not the one to follow.
That's right.
If they're not speaking for the elders and Mother Earth, they are not the ones to follow. So across in America, this is all the advice I got. Winsler, tell those people to be careful, because those people will come in and destroy what God has given us as a blessing. And last but not least, is that if we stay in that course, God will give us that change. So we are with you, and we are praying with you. And Reverend Barber and everybody, we really thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
And you
thank
have
you.
He has been to his word
thank
that
you.
Native Americans will be a part of
it. Let's give it up for our indigenous brothers and sisters. Now, I'm not, bring this mic up, I'm not the MC, but every now and then Liz and I are going to take some privilege. I got some leaders over here in these tents, speakers. And I'm going to chastise you a little bit, because if you all can't be quiet, we can't expect the people to be quiet. Right? And the most important thing today is that everybody's listened to. This is not a party. This is not a fellowship. We're going to believe the rain going to hold back, but 50 years ago, they stayed in the mud and the rain. So let us hear prayer now. Let us hear prayer.
Let's hear it again for our Native American sisters and brothers. We know who the real immigrants are, don't we? Amen. Please welcome for our spirituality, the Reverend Dr. In this order, the Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, Rabbi Alana Suskin, with assistance from Shifra Bronsnick, the Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis, the Reverend Claudia De La Cruz, and the Reverend Robin Tanner. Hear ye them.
Today, we stand as truth tellers, witnessing to the pain and suffering caused by the injustices within our community and across this country. We gather to declare that we need a moral revival, a radical revolution of values, a poor people's campaign to save the heart and soul of our democracy and of our nation.
Rabbi Suskin's religious practice means that today, on the holy day of the Jewish Sabbath, she does not use electronics, so she will read without electronics, and I will. repeat so we could all share.
Recall the prophets of old. From the sacred texts of the world religions, who proclaims the believers, both men and women, are in charge of and responsible for one another. They all enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong. From the Quran.
We call on the prophets of old. We call on the prophets of old from the sacred texts of the world's religions who proclaimed, the believers, both men and women, are in charge of and responsible for one another. They all enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong. From the Quran.
All the workers you've exploited and cheated cry out for judgment. The groans of the workers you used and abused are the roar in the ears of God, the Book of James. Arjun, whenever righteousness is on the decline, unrighteousness is in the ascendant, then I am reincarnated. For the protection of the virtuous, for the extirpation of the evildoers, and for the establishing of Dharma, righteousness, on a firm footing, I am born from age to age. From the Bhagavad Gita.
We uphold our constitution and the founding creed of our nation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that from the Declaration of Independence.
Greeting of peace, assalamu alaikum. I'm Imam Ali Siddiqui. 50 years ago, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and other grassroots leaders launched a poor people campaign. When calling the poor to come to Washington, Reverend Dr. King said, "We are here. We are poor. We don't have any money. You have made us this way, and we have come to stay until you do something about it."
And so we are here. We are poor.
Yes.
And we are ready.
Yes.
We are ready to follow in the footsteps of one like the prophet Isaiah. If you remove the yoke of oppression, the pointing of the finger, evil. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be like the noonday. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. We are here. We are poor. We are ready.
Thank you to all of our clergy. I did not introduce on the list, my mistake, Imam Ali Siddiqui, but you heard his voice. Amen.
We are now going to take a station break. When we return, we'll continue with the Poor People's Campaign final rally.
Somebody's hurting my sister, and it's gone on far too long. You know it's gone on
far too long.
Yeah, it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, somebody's hurting my sister, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore.
too long. Oh, it's gone on.
Far too long.
Oh, it's gone on.
Far too long.
While somebody's hurting my brother, and it's gone on.
Far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore.
Healthcare, and it'll gone on far too long.
Don't you know it's gone on?
Yeah, it's gone on.
Yeah,
somebody's taking our healthcare, and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore.
Was and it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, it's gone on
far too long.
Oh, somebody's building them walls and it's gone on
far too long.
And we won't be silent anymore.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. If you've missed any part of this hour from 10 this morning for 90 days after that, just go to kpfk.org, scroll down to archives, click on Sojourner Truth. You'll be able to hear the show in its entirety. And you can check us out on our website on sotrueradio.org. If you're on Facebook, you can look for us on Facebook. Look for Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. We're also on SoundCloud. Look for us there. Again, Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. On Twitter and Instagram, you can find our handle at So True Radio. We're now going to turn our attention back to part one of the 3-hour long Poor People's Campaign Final Week of Action rally that took place in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, June 23rd, 2018.
Jesus was with the poor. Dr. King was with the poor. The Reverend Dr. William J. Barber and the Reverend Liz Theo Harris are with the poor. Let's hear now from the architects, the servant leaders. They're not just leaders. They're servant leaders resurrecting the spirit of Dr. King. Please welcome the Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris and the Reverend Dr. William J. Barber.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. Good morning, these United States of America. Good morning, First Nations. And good morning, world. We are the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. The Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. We are a powerful group of poor people and moral leaders and activists and organizers and freedom fighters. And 40 days ago, on Mother's Day, we launched this campaign. Today, we converge on the National Mall, right in front of the U.S. Capitol. We converge from every country, every corner of this country, for a call to action to announce our work has only just begun. Because over the past 40 days, people of all races, colors, and creeds have joined together to engage in nonviolent, moral, fusion, direct action to demand that we lift all families up. We lift all people up. We don't break them apart. It is unjust, immoral, and unnecessary to have millions of poor people in this land. It is unjust, immoral, and unnecessary that we have children warehoused across this country because of their immigration status, because of their homelessness, because their families have no access to water. We need a poor people's campaign. So we are building one. And over the past 40 days, we, the people, have taken over streets and Capitol buildings and human service departments and housing offices and departments of environmental quality and governor's mansions and Senate and House office buildings and the Supreme Court and the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol, making it clear that our politicians and to the people that we are here. We are poor. We are disenfranchised. We are immigrants. We are low-wage workers. We are veterans. We are sick. We are poisoned. We are homeless. We are separated from our families. And we are going to keep coming back until everyone has housing rights. Everyone has voting rights. Everyone has health care and living wages and quality, equitable education and clean water and peace. And peace. And peace and justice that we all need. We have seen the creative actions of poor people and moral leaders and activists in nearly 40 states across the nation over the past 40 days. Over 3,000 people have presented ourselves for nonviolent civil disobedience. We have reached tens of millions on Facebook and Twitter. Historians are describing the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, as the largest and most expansive wave of nonviolent civil disobedience in state capitals in the 21st century. The most expansive, the largest wave of nonviolent civil disobedience. And today, on June 23rd, countries all over the world are holding solidarity actions with the Poor People's Campaign here. We reject the lie that there is scarcity when we live in abundance, that there should be anyone homeless when there are abandoned luxury houses, that there should be anyone without health care when we have hospitals and the latest equipment and the best doctors, that there should be anyone hungry when we throw away enough food to feed every person, not just in this country, but across the world. We reject that we have to choose between advocating for voting rights and housing rights and living wages and an end to war. We know we need a movement to unite us all together. We reject heretical assertions that our sacred texts, that our Constitution justify taking away children, building up walls, cutting social programs, and oppressing the poor. Because the Bible I read, the prophet Isaiah proclaims, "Woe to you who passed unjust laws to deprive the poor of their rights, making mothers their prey, taking advantage of homeless children. And we reject the narrative that poor white people and poor black people and poor Latino people and poor indigenous people and poor Christians and poor Jews and poor Muslims and voting rights activists and homeless activists and those fighting extreme extraction and equitable education advocates and low-wage workers and queer and trans youth and veterans and millennials and our elders can't come together. Because, my God, we have. Because over the past 40 days, over the past few months, we have come together. There are state coordinating committees in 40 states across this country building the Poor People's Campaign. There are teams of lawyers and doctors and media makers and cultural artists and theomusicologists who have stepped forward to build a movement. There are signs and chants and t-shirts and songs that unite us in this campaign. And there are thousands of leaders across this country who have stepped forward to say, we're in this for the long haul. We're going to finish this race. Four together. Four together. We proclaim somebody is hurting our people. And it has gone on for far too long. And we won't be silent anymore. We cry out. We are a new and unsettling force. And we are powerful. We are a new and unsettling force. And we're here. We sing out. We went down to the Capitol and we took back what they stole from me. We took back our dignity. We took back our humanity. And we will keep letting people know that everybody has a right to live. That everybody has a right to live. And that before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Because everybody has a right to live. Today, we honor Dr. King, leaders like Reverend Annie Chambers of the National Welfare Rights Organization, the Jewish Federation, the Appalachian Volunteer Corps, the United Farm Workers, and so many others who launched the Poor People's Campaign 50 years ago. And today, on the 50th anniversary of the Poor People's Campaign, we remember the words of Reverend Dr. King, just 2 weeks before he was assassinated. Power for poor people will really mean having the ability, the togetherness, the assertiveness, and the aggressiveness to make the power structure of this nation say yes when they may be desirous to say no. That's what we're doing. We're building the power of poor people. We're building fusion coalitions in 40 states to take action together. We're building a set of demands that will lift up the poor, protect voting rights, protect the earth, and shift our war economy into a peace economy. And so I question all of you gathered here, all of you who are part of this Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. If you believe we have it, repeat after me. Ability. Togetherness. Assertiveness. Aggressiveness. Ability. Togetherness. Assertiveness. Aggressiveness. Ability. Togetherness. Assertiveness. Aggressiveness. Because I believe we do. And now, I have the great honor of introducing you to the heroes and heroines of this nation. Those people who come out of homeless encampments and from states that have not expanded Medicaid, that live in communities with poisoned water and in trailers with raw sewage in their yards. Those people who have been locked out of their state capitals, locked to their governor's mansions, those who have been hauled off to jail for standing for justice, and those who have prayed on the streets, at the Supreme Court, in the halls of power across this country, prayers of justice and mercy and peace. Today, at this call to action, we recognize all of you who have engaged in organizing, educating, singing, marching, voter registering over the past 40 days and months before. So please lift up those leaders with your voices and your applause. Today, at this call to action, we honor those who have engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience. If you got arrested or tried to get arrested over the past 40 days, please raise your hands tall. Make your hands wave. And everybody, lift these leaders up. Raise your voices. And appreciate these heroes and heroines. And we recognize the states and the First Nations that have been involved in organizing. So please welcome some of the leaders of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival.
Yeah. Representing the state of Illinois. Woo!
Representing the state of Arkansas.
Representing the state of Alabama.
Representing the state of Oregon.
Representing the great state of Washington.
Representing the state of Ohio.
Representing the small but powerful state of Connecticut.
Representing the oldest state in the nation, St. Augustine, Florida.
Representing South Carolina, where the Confederacy was born and we're changing more than the flag.
Representing the tiniest state in the country, but one of the most powerful, Rhode Island. Woo!
Representing Michigan.
representing the beautiful state of Minnesota.
Representing Missouri. Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, South Dakota.
Shut out but not shut up, Kentucky!
Representing New Jersey.
Representing Louisiana.
Representing Arizona, which is on stolen autumn land.
Representing the reddest state in the South, Texas. Representing the Granite State, New Hampshire.
Representing the last frontier, Alaska.
Representing New Mexico. Representing the state of Mississippi. Representing, in all my queerness, the great state of Utah.
Pennsylvania. Tennessee strong. Yeah. Representing the brave little state of Vermont.
Representing California. North Carolina's here, y'all.
Representing the greatest state in the nation, the Empire State, New York. Make some noise.
Representing the dying state of West Virginia!
Wisconsin! Colorado, proud and in the house!
Maryland!
The land stolen from the Fox, the Sac, the Winnebago, and the Meskwaki, Iowa. Representing the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Shannon Rivers, Akamir to Autumn, from the states of Arizona and California, representing the Indigenous Peoples Collective.
I'm Jay Winnenite Wolf, and I represent all of our people, the first people here, the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere and the great state of Maryland, the Cherokee, Shoshone, Taino, and all of us. We're here with you.
Representing the heartland, where brothers and sisters are only 6% of the population, but we get locked up 33% more at a time. But guess what? We rise up. We stand up. Rise up! Kansas!
Representing the state where the sun rises first, Maine.
Representing the nations of the Wabanaki people, in Maine, where we live on stolen land.
And the people of Washington, D.C.
Today is about the people. This is a different kind of rally.
We've not invited people here today to speak for the people. We've invited the people to speak for themselves. Because I think it's time for a revolution. My brothers and sisters, let me take about 7 minutes and then we're going to begin to hear from the people. Today, you are the founding members of the 21st Century Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. We gather today for a call to action. We gather here declaring it's time for a moral uprising all across America. This is not a commencement, this is a commencing. This is not the commemoration of what happened 50 years ago. This is the reenactment and the re-inauguration. Because you do not commemorate prophets and prophetic movements. You go where the blood, where they fell, and reach down in the blood and pick up the baton and carry it the next mile of the way. For 3 years, we've been laying a foundation from the bottom up, not the top down, because helicopter leadership will not save us. Today, from this stage, no person will speak at the podium by themselves. Today, because of the continuing reality of two Americas, one land, the land of the very few with extreme lot, and the other land of the many with the very little who suffer dots, daily ongoing stress syndrome of their lives and the attention violence by the political culture toward the poor. We are here. People are watching by live stream around the country and the world. We are here to call the nation to action, to get our marching orders. We are here to put a face on the facts of poverty. We are here of every race, every color, every creed, every income, every faith tradition, especially the poor, coming together, declaring that we must have a poor people's not march, a poor people's not rally, but a poor people's campaign to save not the Republican Party, to save not the Democratic Party, but to save the very heart and the soul of this nation. Don't get it twisted. We are not the left. We are not the right. We are not the conservative. We are not the liberal, because those phrases are too puny and too weak and too limited. No, this campaign is standing in the deep moral tradition, in the deep religious and moral traditions that have always been necessary throughout history in order to lift those at the bottom and save countries from destroying their own potential. We are in the same moral tradition of the prophets of Israel who challenged kings and rulers to stop legislating evil. We are in the same moral tradition of Jesus, whose evangelical work was not being against gay people, but being against poverty. We are in the same moral tradition of the Apache and other indigenous spiritual people who taught us to care and not destroy and poison the air, water, and the land. We are in the same moral tradition of the abolitionists who knew if slavery was legal, it was still immoral and it had to be challenged. We are in the same moral tradition of the Reconstructionists who, after the Civil War, fought for equal protection under the law. We are in the same moral tradition as the social gospel movement who looked at poverty and corporate greed and asked, what would Jesus do? We are in the same moral tradition of those who fought for labor unions and decent wages and 8-hour work days, even when they were killed and hung in places like Chicago. We are in the same moral tradition as Cesar Chavez and MLK and Rabbi Heschel and Fannie Lou Hamer and Swana Cheney and Goodman and Rosa Parks and Unitarian and Muslims like Malcolm and gay people and social justice activists like Bayard Rushton. We stand in the same moral tradition that have always fought to help this nation be a little more a little more grounded in love, truth, and peace, and to come a little closer to being a more perfect union. This is who we are. Make no mistake, America, you've got to get a new lexicon for this. You won't be able to report this like you've normally reported it. We are black, we are white, we are brown, we are red, we are yellow, we are gay, we are straight, we are old, we are urban, we are rural, we are Jewish, we are Christian, we are Hindus, we are Muslim, we are people of faith, we are people not of faith, from Alaska to Alabama to the deep south in Mississippi to northern Maine, from California to the Carolinas, from the Midwest, from the Rust Belt to the Wheat Belt. We are the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for America. Revival, and we won't be silent anymore. And since folk want to quote scripture, in Ezekiel 22, the Bible says, your politicians are like wolves, prowling and killing and taking whatever they want. But something is worse, your preachers cover up for the politician by pretending to have vision and special vision and say God said it and God ain't said nothing. And because of this, extortion is rife, robbery is epidemic, the poor and the needy are abused, outsiders are kicked around, immigrants are mistreated with no access for justice. So God says, I'm looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Who will stand in the gap was the question 2,600 years ago, and it's the question right now.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification.